And welcome to IVF BFF with me, Sian.
And me, Catherine.
A podcast about two friends on their respective IVF treatment in real time at the same time.
Join us as we lift the lid and demystify all things to do with the fertility journey, sharing each step as it happens, from the highs to the lows and everything in between. Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
All right. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
We're okay. We're surviving.
We are.
Thriving?
I think it's definitely surviving at the moment.
Surviving at you? The moment. Yeah. yeah. I'm doing all right. We've got a lot to get into, haven't we, in this little ep. Welcome everybody, ep 5.
Yep, we've done it. We've got actually a new
episode
setup that's incredibly boring.
Five.
But it's now it's happening. We're in the thick of it.
Yeah. So we have both now started treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Active injecting, jabbing, stabbing treatment.
Yeah.
And there's quite a lot to get into.
Yeah. I mean,
so
we are now IVF warriors.
IVF warriors! How do you feel about that phrase?
I quite like it.
It's used a lot on socials, isn't it?
Yeah.
IVF warrior.
Do you not like it?
Yeah. I do like it.
Yeah.
I do. I think sometimes, I don't know, some of these things can, like, we're at risk of them becoming, like, catchphrases or a bit like cliched. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
But we are. I feel like there's no better way. It's like journey, isn't
yes.
it? It's like that word. It's like journey. It's like we say we're on a fertility journey and everyone hates that word, but there's no better way of saying it.
Yeah, because it is up and down.
Yeah, and it is a roller coaster.
Everyone says that. I find that a little bit like, annoying. But it is
another
that.
Little platitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are both like on the road actually doing it. And so I think a good place to start is how was your, it's a bit over a week and a half. How's it been since you started your treatment?
Yeah. So
talk us through it. What's happened?
Yeah. We started on the 2nd of January. So not that long ago, maybe a week and a bit ago.
10 days, right?
Yeah, 10 days. Yeah.
10 days.
And
what happened? What was your... Because you went in, didn't you, for an appointment?
Yeah, we had an appointment at like 1:30. I was really nervous, like felt a bit sick beforehand. And then when we arrived, which really put us a little bit on edge, but I'm sure it's really normal, the woman at reception was like, oh yeah, the fertility nurse is, or the nurse is on her lunch break, so she'll see you when she can. And then we looked around and saw all these other couples and we were like, oh my god.
I always look at the other couples in the waiting room and I always go, I wonder what their story is, partly because I'm nosy, but I'm like, it's a reminder, isn't it, that so I'm like, wow, they're going through their own stuff. And I feel like I get quite tunnel visioned with all of this, and sometimes I'm like, oh gosh, it happens to so many people, this stuff.
Yeah, but
so it's
also
weird seeing other people there, isn't it?
It's really weird. But also the other thing was that I was sitting there going, not all of us are gonna make it this round.
You make it sound like Squid Game.
Actually,
oh god,
oh my god,
who's gonna be eliminated?
Red light, green light. Is it red light, green light?
Not all of us. Yeah, not all of us will make it, guys.
Oh.
No, I know, it's like we don't know what's gonna happen. And I look at those couples, I'm like, oh, I hope you're all okay.
I know. And also, I don't know about you, but like I feel like I want to say, oh hi, I'm Sian, but nobody really wants to, I don't know, everyone's got their head down, everybody's like with their, either on their phone or they're like with their couple, like clutching them. And I was just like, I was just oh, I don't know, I felt a bit sick. And then we thought, well, basically the fertility nurse came back and she said, just so you know, there's actually only one nurse today at the clinic. Mm-hmm. And I just looked around and saw all these couples and I thought, oh my God, we're going to be here for ages.
And when you're already nervous, it's like, you just want it over and done with, don't you?
Yeah. And also I thought like, oh, we've got, I don't know if, like, it's going to take them ages because they're going to want to have, they're going to be taught possibly how to use the injections and what to do. And like, it's only fair that they have a proper appointment. So I was thinking, well, it's going to be at least half an hour per couple. But luckily, we were really lucky. We did get seen second, which I didn't think would happen. And the couple before us, like, it makes me think like, oh, what happened to them? They went in and out. So this might be their next go in my head.
Yeah. And you forget not everyone is at the same point as us. So they might be here for something else, you know, or like, you know, a different part of the process.
Yeah. So we went in and there was this really lovely nurse and she said, what do you want to do first, the blood test or teach how to do the injection? So I wanted to put that off. I just thought, just get the blood test done.
And this was the blood test to check for STIs.
Yes. And hepatitis. Yeah.
Hepatitis, HIV, the SIF.
Yeah.
Syphilis.
Yeah. So all of that.
I said that last time and I don't know if that is actually right, but I think they were testing for that.
I think they test for a lot of things, don't they?
Everything. Yeah. So you did the blood test first.
Yeah, which was fine. Like, didn't really have a problem. Although when she was doing the blood test, I was thinking, God, is it going to feel like this? Because it was quite sharp. You know what blood tests are
blood like. Blood tests are quite mammoth. I find blood test needles big and
they
everything.
Are.
And I'm like, oh, I can't look at them when they do them in my arm.
No, although I did look at Andrew's one.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
But yeah, you see a needle and you go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so blood test all done.
So that was all good. That was all fine. She said, if you don't hear from us, we're all good. So I haven't heard anything. So
great.
Woohoo.
You're syphilis free.
Woohoo. And then she said, right, let's do in teaching you how to use the injection. I was really paranoid before leaving that I hadn't got the medication and everything, so I had to check my letter like a gazillion times.
I nearly left without mine. I got in the car and I was, when I had mine, which we'll come to, I got in the car and I was like, I'm sure there's something. Medication! I went back into the house to get it.
Oh my God, imagine if you'd left it.
Can you imagine?
I bet they have spare. Like, I can't imagine that they would just go, oh, well, you've messed it up now.
I don't know. I think they might.
Really?
Anyway.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, you had your medication with you.
Yeah, so I had my meds, and then she just was really calm, very clear. She got out all the stuff. I've got, like, as do you, like, one of those... It looks... I feel like either I've got diabetes, although, actually, they treat diabetes slightly differently now, don't they? But... or I'm like a drug addict because I've got this like...
so many needles.
Yeah, and I've got like a pack of needles and I've got like, you know, like a bin, like a special throwaway bin.
Yeah, a Sharps bin.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is so freaky. And so I just, I don't know, she gave me a pile of stuff and then she got out one of the needles and I... Honestly, I'm sorry, I'm going to swear. I shit you not. I freaked. I went, that better not be touching me. And she went, don't worry, it's not. Honestly.
That's the big one.
It was massive. It
There's
was like
a big needle and a small needle.
Yeah, the big needle literally looked about, I don't know, 3 or 4 inches long. I was like, you are kidding me. And she went, don't worry, that's not touching you. I was like, thank God for that.
Yeah. Great. And explain what the big needle does do.
Oh, yes. So the big needle gets the fluid from the, I don't know, the medicine. And it, lifts it up. It puts it in the syringe, like, really easily, because the smaller needle wouldn't obviously do as brilliant a job. And
kind
then
of sucks it up, doesn't it?
It sucks it up.
You draw up the liquid.
You draw it up and you tip it upside down, like the bottle. Well, the bottle's upside down and then I draw it. Did you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't tip anything upside down.
Oh.
But we're on slightly different meds.
Yeah. Slightly, and also I guess nurses have slightly different ways of doing this, I should think.
Techniques, yeah. Yeah.
She was like, I'm teaching you all my techniques. So she was like, so we like put the syringe in the bottle and then you tip it upside down so the bottle's on the top. And then you suck out the liquid. And then what she did is she said, I want you to take it down to one. I don't ask me what the quantity is because I couldn't tell you if it's milliliters? I don't know. It can't be one milliliter. I don't know what it is. But she brought it, we brought it down to one. And then she said, now, if you want to get rid of the air bubbles, you press it up now back to half, which is what I need to put in. And so once we did that, we then removed the really massive needle and put the small needle on, which, by the way, I think they do it on purpose. They show you a big needle so that when you look at the small needle, you go, oh, that's fine. It's
that's
easy.
Not too bad.
Yeah. She said that everybody asks her this. I said, what happens if there's an air bubble? Will I kill myself? And she was like, no.
Good to know.
She's like, it doesn't go in a vein. It literally goes into fat. So it's different. So she was like, even if there's a bit of air in it, it's actually fine. So there you go. We didn't have to do any flicking or anything. So it was just like
I do some flicking.
Do you? So interesting.
But we'll come to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've learnt how to inject and you've been doing that now for 10 days.
Yes. And also one thing I'm so proud of in that appointment is she said, do you want me to show you how to do it? Or would you like to have a go now? And I went, I'm going to do it. Because previously me and Andrew said that he would do all of it. But actually, I just, in this weird moment, in the moment, I went, no, I'm going to do it. And then it's very unflattering because you have to obviously pull the tops of your trousers down and it's not exactly the flattering, it's not a very flattering position, is it? Let's be honest.
No, I thought exactly the same thing.
It's not very nice.
You
and then she goes,
grab a roll of fat.
Yeah, she goes, grab some fat. And she's like, the bigger, the better. I'm like, oh, great.
Oh,
so then I
it's like, what? I don't have any. Yeah, oh, no, I do.
Yeah. And then I grabbed some fat and then she put, and then she just said, what did she say? She just said, you just jab it in, which I found surprisingly easy to do. I don't know what that says. I'm sure my therapist will have lots to say about that. But I jabbed it in and then she said, count to 10 and then leave it there for a sec and then pull it out. And that's what I did. And I was so shaky and so full of adrenaline that actually afterwards I felt so much relief that I think that maybe I didn't feel it because of that. Because I did not feel it. Yeah.
Okay.
So then that was that.
Okay.
And then we did get a little bit teary in the appointment because we were like, whoa, this is big. Like, this is significant. Mm-hmm. But then she was so kind. She was like, we're here for you. Like, we understand that this is a really, really, really tough thing to go through. And you know when people are nice to you, it makes you cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then, like, that's what happened. And then we left, and then it was really nice. And then I booked me and Andrew to have, like, a massage, which is really, like, a very, very bougie. We would never usually do that. But we were just like, let's just treat ourselves to something.
Needs that, must.
Yeah. Obviously, we can't go around treating ourselves after, like, I mean, with an extravagant gift after every appointment.
No, I wish.
Wouldn't that be nice? But, like you say, like, a croissant or something, or...
I don't know, something you'd really want to do, or... It's always food related with me. I'm
me
like,
too.
A cake. Yay.
Oh, yeah, cake. Definitely. So, yeah, that's kind of what's been happening.
Yeah. Have you found the injections and talk us through that?
Yeah. So, I have to do mine in the morning. So, I do mine sort of between sort of 6 a.m., 6:20 a.m. I kind of negotiated with the nurse that on the weekend I could do it within an hour of that. So I get to do it now at 7-ish, which feels like a little lie-in.
Love it.
I'm doing it before work, which can feel a little bit stressful, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Because I heard, I think someone messaged us on our Instagram saying that she makes like a little ritual out of it, like, puts music on and plays things, and I thought that was really cool. But I don't think I can do that in the morning.
It's hard when you're like, you're on a schedule. Because mine, and we'll come to it, but mine first injection's in the evening. So I'm lucky I can have dinner, like settle down. There's no time pressure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got that luxury where you don't really.
No. I have found that hard. I found in terms of like side effects and things, I just feel...
Yeah, how are you feeling?
Well, I feel like possibly more unable to regulate my emotions than normal. I feel really tired.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. I feel completely wiped out. Like, very, very tired. Like, even doing, like, a small job, like, loading, unloading the dishwasher, I'm exhausted. So it does make, because my commute isn't great to work, so it does mean that in the car I'm really concentrating because I'm nervous I'm going to fall asleep, which is obviously not a good idea.
And also, Sian, you work a full-on job. Your work is very, very hectic. And I'm lucky my job is a bit more flexible. Yeah. But there is, it's that as well, isn't it? It's like navigating your normal life.
I actually am. Yeah, that's the thing that I'm finding hard at the moment is work. And this is really hard, I have to say.
Full-on.
Yeah, it's really tough. And they are supportive, so that's really, I'm really lucky in that regard. But they're like, you know, as with many places, there is no fertility policy, you know?
Yeah, and this is something that I think is changing, and there are really great people out there campaigning for it, but there is not, like, you know, most workplaces, pretty much every workplace has a maternity policy. But it's something that we don't really think about, is a fertility policy and the need for that and the need for something, a policy in place, because as we know, so many people go through this and have to work.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. So that's me. What about you?
Okay, so we've discussed this and we'll come to it as well, but we're on slightly different protocols, which is what they call a treatment plan. So mine, I didn't get put on the pill. I was waiting for my period. And naturally, like, we've spent how many months not wanting to see my period, going, oh, I hope it doesn't arrive this time. I hope my period's late. Hope that's a sign. And then this is the one time I'm like, right, I want to see that period. It's the one time I wanted it to show up. It's such a weird feeling, like kind of willing it on, being like, where's my period? When is it going to arrive? And it was bang on time, very punctual. And then when I got my period, I had to phone up and go in for my first, like you, the teaching appointment for the injections. I also had a scan as well. And I think it's because you were on the pill, they kind of knew that everything was put to sleep.
Yeah.
In a way, like your ovaries weren't going to be stimulated. They weren't going to be like ready to ovulate or anything. And I was on my period, so I shouldn't be. But I think with me, they had to just make sure that none of my follicles were like looking like they were going to ovulate. So but it was nice to see my womb again. That was fun.
Yeah.
so she was like, do you want to see? I was like, yeah, I always want to see it. And then it's so funny because she's like, can you see this bit here? And I'm like, And I'm thinking, can I? Like, it's like Rachel in Friends when they're like, can you see the baby? And she's like, yeah. And she's like, I can't see it. Oh, I felt like that. I was like, she was like, these are your ovaries. So she did show me and showed me all the follicles. So yeah, it was looking good. Like the bonus of having a scan is she could give me like another sneaky peek into like how many follicles I have at the moment. And I had about 11 on one side, about 12 on the other.
Which is bloody good numbers.
Which is great. And I'm very lucky and I'm very fortunate to have a high follicle count. But this is really stupid. But obviously when I had my high COSI before, I had 14 and 16. So I was like, hang on, I've lost some. Where have they gone? And she was like, no. She was like, they're not all there all the time. I thought they were just there all the time.
Yeah. And so also, it's different every month, isn't it, as well?
It's different. I had no idea. I was like, whoa, where have they got? I've lost some follicles. But your ovaries recruit new follicles during your cycle. And had no idea. So yeah. She was like, there will be more. But yeah, that was what we were starting with, which is considered, I think, quite high.
It is, yeah. So,
which is partly why I'm on this shorter protocol as well. And then, so the scan was all fine. Again, nurse was so, so lovely. And then a different, equally lovely nurse showed me how to do the injection. And I'm so glad that you warned me about the big needle and said, don't worry, it's not going in you. Because you said that to me, I was like, oh, cool, that's the mixing needle. I think mine's slightly different. I've got to do a bit of the flicking the syringe and getting the bubbles out. She said bubbles are fine. With the liquid, when you put it in the syringe, they won't harm you. But she said they can be a bit painful because it's air. There's nowhere for it to go when it's in your body. Mm. So she showed me that. Again, that makes me feel like a bit like a drug addict. I've never been a drug addict, obviously. But I'm like flicking a syringe. I'm like, they do this in the movies.
I know. It's like like we're doing train spotting or something.
I know. I can't believe they've trusted me with needles and syringes, if I'm honest. I'm like, who has authorised me to do this?
Yeah.
Absolutely nobody.
And also, apparently some clinics, you can do like pills and nasal sprays and things like that.
Yeah. It's do like, you think that's private? Do you think NHS, they give you the needles?
Yeah, I think it's cheaper.
Yeah, might be. That's fine. But yeah, she took me through the whole thing. And also, top tip, I, with permission from her, I videoed the demonstration. And I videoed her showing me. And obviously, I asked her. So if you're going into an appointment like this, make sure you ask permission, but it's always worth asking, can I film this kind of video? And she said, absolutely, video my hands. So I didn't video her at all. And she was kind of describing it as she went through. And that was so helpful because I know I would have walked out of there otherwise and just gone, what did you say? I can't remember anything. So that was super duper helpful. So after that, I just watched the video back over and over again. I was sat at work in a quiet corner just watching the video, like trying to get it in my head. Right, now you do this, now you do that. And I felt quite confident when I came to the first one on my own at home. She actually did the injection on me.
Yeah.
She didn't really give me the option to do it because I knew that you did yours. And I was like, should I do it? And she was like, no, don't worry. I was like, okay, never mind. I was like, oh, I'm not going to be brave like Sian today. But yeah, she did it. And oh, you're right. It's so, I mean, we shouldn't be vain about it, but it's so unflattering. She's like, it's best that you sit down so you can grab more fat. Mm. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Great. So I'm just there with my trousers down with like grabbing a roll of fat. That's fun.
It's horrible.
And also, it doesn't make me feel the best.
No, and I don't know about you, but I don't know if you've tried it, but she was telling me to start on one side and then make your way over to the other side.
And yes, but I've been a bit random.
Me too.
So I've been a bit more kind of, what's the word?
Haphazard about it.
Bit haphazard. I'm like, this bit, this bit, this bit.
Yeah, so that's what
I've been
no done.
Method to it.
And I've started getting bruises because I'm not
have
really...
You?
Yeah, because I'm not properly doing it, what she said. And also, I tried to grab... Because I was thinking, I'll start from the far right. And I tried to grab on the side, but there's obviously not as much fat as in the middle.
Yeah.
So hurts. I'm grabbing the side, and I was like, bloody hell, that hurt. Yeah,
because there's not as much.
Yeah.
I think bruises are not nice, but I think they're kind of normal. Yeah. I bruise really easily, so I'm expecting a few to pop up. But yeah, so she taught me how to do it. And then, yeah, that video was a real lifesaver. Then I went home, and yesterday after work, I got home and I was like, I'm going to do it. And so that was my first dose. And then I had to do my second one. Yeah, yesterday. So I've done three now. Today is day three of injections. So I just was kind of like, right, I'm doing it. I'm going to do it. And I found drawing up the liquid quite hard. And it took me a couple of goes to be like, because if you don't hold the syringe, it all goes back into the vial. So I was like, it took me a couple of goes of that. But and also, I keep having this thing of like, did I do it properly? Did it all go in? And I said to Carl earlier, I said, it did all go in, didn't it? And he was like, well, the syringe is empty, Catherine. I'm like, yeah. He's like, where else would it have gone? I'm like, no, I know. And he's like, I saw you press it into your body. I'm like, yes, but I'm like, I find it all quite unbelievable, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
So I think it's that.
I do a lot of pinching myself going, I cannot believe we're doing this. Like, I really, really didn't think that we would actually get to this stage.
Yeah,
100%. I just didn't. And like, sometimes I'm like in the bath and I'm like, oh my God, this is happening.
Yeah, we are now officially doing IVF.
Yep.
And I remember asking for our fertility referral from my GP, going, but we probably won't need it. We'll just cancel it when we get pregnant.
Mm.
And someone else can use it or whatever. And then I'm like, oh. And I remember for ages as well, even when we had a diagnosis and we had a treatment plan, I remember finding myself saying to people, oh, it's looking like we might have to do IVF. And I'm like, no, we are. We literally are. It's like, yeah. It's weird, the reality of it.
Yeah, and it feels like, it's so strange because once you're really in it, it feels really mental because you're constantly kind of symptom spotting, like, how am I feeling? You know, you're kind of thinking about, oh, you know, what the week ahead, and, you know, can I do that? Or will I be able to do this? You know, how much sleep will I? Well, for me, I'm like, oh, I'm going to have this much sleep. So, okay, I've got to get up at this time. Or that means that maybe I won't do that in the evening, because it's like all of those things which, now that we're in treatment, I probably wouldn't have given a second thought to.
Yeah, 100%. So in terms of, so that's my kind of starting of my treatment. And then shall we kind of just discuss what happens next for both of us? Because I know we've talked in a roundabout way about our treatment plan. This might be a good time to kind of lay out what's ahead.
Yeah. So I guess mine is a long protocol, and it's funny because I actually asked my acupuncturist and I asked the nurse, because I was like, why am I doing a long one, really? I know that I kind of was told in the, when I had the chat with the consultant, but I can't really remember. And I sort of said to both of them, and the nurse was, what did the nurse say? She kind of said, it's the right plan for you because we want to get as many, you know, eggs as possible, and with the long protocol we can control your cycle so that we literally know that this is when you're coming in for collection, this is when you're doing this. And I was like, okay. And then I remember asking the acupuncturist, and he was maybe a bit more skeptical, which is fair. He was like, well, that's because you know, with a long protocol, they just want to pump you with as many drugs as possible to, you know, basically it's a bit of a testing round to see how you cope with it and then how many eggs you get from there. And then he was like, but, you know, some women do really well with that. And then I can't remember the nurse also said the reason that private clinics do short is because they can get as many people in and out as possible. So I don't know, there's lots of conflicting opinions about it all. So I've just decided I'm not going to think about it anymore and just do it.
Yeah.
This is what I'm doing.
This is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so how does that pan out? So you do a lot more injections than me, don't you?
Yeah. So I'm on this particular thing that I take in the morning. It stops my brain kind of sending messages to my ovaries. So that basically puts me in a state of menopause, which, do you know what? The positive of all of this is I'll know what it's like starting the menopause.
You'll be like sorted. You'll be sussed.
Exactly. When you get there. I'll tell you all about it, guys.
We'll do a podcast about that when we get to the menopause. Yes. Menopause BFF.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then this Friday I go in for my first scan, and then they give me an additional injection that I do in the evening, and that starts the stimulation process of my ovaries.
Okay.
So you're doing that now, I think, aren't you?
So it's so interesting. I had no idea. I'm doing the opposite. So I'm on short protocol, and I was told that I'm on a short protocol basically because I'm at risk of overstimulating, because I've got a high follicle count, which is great. It seems like a non-problem to me. I'm like, yeah, overstimulate them. Come on, I want loads of eggs. But actually, overstimulating, when I looked into it, it can be very dangerous. So I'm on a shorter treatment plan. And I'm doing the stims now. So my injection at the moment is to stimulate my ovaries and stimulate the follicles and get as many ready to release eggs as possible. And then I do about 6 days of that, and I carry on after day six. But on day six, I add in my second injection, which is my morning one, which is the one that stops my brain from ovulating. Mm. So that is the one that suppresses ovulation. So I do it the other way around. I do the stimulation, and then I add in the injection that says, that sends the signal to my ovaries not to ovulate them all.
Got it.
Do you
got
know
it.
What I mean? So it's really weird. And also, you know what I find weird, or like, I told you I don't find this very fair, is that I go for egg collection, if everything goes as we think it will, and there's no guarantee because they might say you need longer or you need shorter, etc., of doing injections. But if everything goes as we think it will, I go for egg collection before you. And I started way after you. So it doesn't feel very fair. I'm like, Sian was first, guys. Can she go first?
Oh, you're so kind.
But I know it doesn't work like that.
It doesn't. And to be honest, like, I actually, do you know what? I just think, oh, it is what it is. And also, I'll find out from you exactly what happens, because I have to say, the egg collection, I am really nervous about. Are you?
Are you? I am. It's more so I'm nervous about the results of the egg collection. Mm. I'm hoping it's going to be the best sleep of my life.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, because... is this a good time to talk about what happens next then? So, oh, also, I have an appointment next Friday too.
Yes, so
I have a scan on Friday. Yeah. And we were, and again, we were like, oh my God, same. Like, we might see each other again.
I don't think we will.
What time is yours?
9 a.m.
Oh, mine's at 11:40.
I know.
Boo, you have to, like, leave a message.
I know. Maybe I'll find, like, a secret corner and hide a piece of paper with a note on it.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Very traitors.
Oh, yes. That's distracting
secret
us.
Secret mission.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. So, yeah. So, after when, for both of us, when we are deemed ready for egg collection, we are then, yeah, we're booked in.
Yeah.
And the egg collection process is where, again, bear in mind, guys, we are not medical professionals.
No.
So, we might butcher this. But they sedate us heavily, and they basically go in, and they go in vaginally.
Yeah, and they use one of those probes that we're used to, but they attach the biggest needle you have ever seen in your life. Yeah, shouldn't have watched. I watched a video on it. I don't know why I did that.
You?
Yeah, I watched a video. Yeah.
Okay, but that's probably why you're scared.
Yeah,
I'm like, no, it's fine because I have no idea. Ignorance is bliss, my friends. Ignorance is bliss.
Sometimes you do, like, maybe knowing too much isn't a good thing. But do you know what? We will be out of it. And it doesn't last long. It lasts like half an hour.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's a half an hour procedure. And they go in with this ultrasound and they drain the liquid from our follicles. And they try and get as many eggs as possible.
Yeah.
Then, this is the fun bit that we couldn't quite believe.
Wacky races, this is.
We do the wacky races. Well, we don't. We're like recovering. And because the hospital we're at, and this does happen. It's not common everywhere, but it does happen. The hospital we are being treated at don't have a lab for embryology. So they don't have a place to, you know, make the embryos, you know, fertilize the eggs with the sperm, etc. So they team up with another really brilliant clinic in London. And the eggs and sperm have to go there for embryology, so where they try and make as many embryos as possible, and for transfer, when if we're lucky enough to have a good quality embryo on day five after egg collection, they'll put one back in. So that all happens at this other clinic. But how do they get there, Sian? How do our eggs get there from our hospital to the other clinic?
So basically what happens is just to make this really clear, on the day of egg collection, in terms of our cycle, it goes back to zero. So they call that day zero. And then what?
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Okay. So that's why they say day five, because egg collection is day zero. And basically what happens is that while we're recovering, and apparently we get tea and toast, which I'm quite excited about. Tea and toast.
Oh, God. Yeah. Lush.
The boys have to take...
This is our husbands.
Oh, yeah, our husbands, not just... Yeah,
Andrew
random
and
men.
Carl, not just random boys. The boys.
The men.
Which boys?
Yeah. They have to go and take the eggs that they've just taken out of us. And it's obviously in a very special sealed sort of, I don't know.
Box.
It feels, I
container.
Don't know, like a Tupperware, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like a fancy
like
Tupperware.
A medical fancy Tupperware to keep them nice and like... the right temperature and everything.
Yeah. And then what they have to do is they need to go and transport it to the embryology team at the other clinic. And the hardest bit, which is quite, I think this would be quite difficult, is that they, when they arrive, then obviously have to produce a sample, hand over the stuff, produce a sample, and then I think they wait and they tell the our husbands, you know, how many... at that moment have fertilized, and then they come back and tell us.
They tell us how many have fertilized. I thought they told us how many eggs we've got.
I thought they do it there and then. And they go, right, this is how many have like actually worked so far.
I thought it was eggs.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong. I'll ask on Friday.
Well, they tell us something.
Yeah,
they tell the boys something.
But I'm obviously
and they
gonna,
have to tell us.
I'm going to ask for a message, obviously.
Check that out. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I said, text me immediately.
Yeah.
I want to know.
I don't want to wait till they get back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want a WhatsApp. How many eggs?
Yeah. How many eggs? How many made it?
How many did we get?
And then apparently it's really between, we've got two big waits coming after that. So we've got to wait for 5 days. Our particular clinic will not put in an egg that is earlier than 5 days.
An embryo.
An embryo, sorry.
Yeah.
Before 5 days. I know that other clinics do other things, but this one, it has to be a day five. They call it blastocyst, which is the stage where they've started, the cells have started multiplying to a certain
degree. Yeah, and it's
stronger,
isn't it?
Yeah.
An egg and a sperm is one cell each, but a blastocyst on day five will be much sturdier, so that it has a better chance of, you know, creating a pregnancy.
Yeah, so we have to wait 5 days. And every, I think most days, they let us know how many have survived, which is quite scary, isn't
it? Because, and there's Emma, the embryologist, shout out. She does an amazing... She has an amazing Instagram post about this, about the funnel.
Mm.
And basically, you get this many eggs, but not all of them will be mature eggs. So there's a little drop-off. And then there's another little drop-off when you find out how many have fertilized. Not all of them will fertilize.
Yeah.
Then this many fertilize normally, then this many make it to day two, day three, day five, etc. And so... because I think when you go into it, you hear about people getting like 10 eggs and you're like, amazing, that's 10 babies, but it's not. And it's there's a definite drop off that you have to kind of be prepared for. Me and Carl, we describe it like X Factor.
Yeah.
So if you're old enough to remember the X Factor, so like, here's how many make it through to boot camp. Here's how many make it through to like judges' houses.
That's
and then live
one.
Finals.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it, just because it amuses us, really. And we picture the embryos like on Simon Cowell's sofa when he's like, you're through to live finals. And they're like, oh my God, I've waited my whole life for this. We're very dramatic in our house, which
I
just
love
makes
it.
Me laugh. So yeah, that's the kind of, it's a process, isn't it? And then hopefully if we have a good, at least one good quality day five embryo, they will put it back in with a transfer.
Yeah.
And then we have another wait. And any others, if we're lucky to have others, they freeze them for us, right?
Yeah, they freeze
And important
them.
To say, not everyone gets to this point either.
No, there's actually a lot of people don't always, and obviously that's heartbreaking. So it's really, it's going to be, the waiting is probably going to be harder than the treatment, actually, these waiting times. Yeah, it's kind of, yeah, it's mad, isn't it? It's like, I don't know about crazy. You, Catherine, but sometimes I'm like, you know, when people say, oh, I'm pregnant, I'm like, how did that happen? Like, you didn't have to do any of this waiting.
I literally said that today. I had a moment where I was like, hang on, not everyone has to do this. I forget. I'm like, what? When someone says, like, I'm pregnant, I'm like, what, you mean you didn't inject yourself twice a day?
Yeah.
How is that possible if you didn't do all of this?
I know. It feels like we're really in the machinations of what it is to create a baby. Like, we're in...
100%.
We're
seeing how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
A little bit.
We're not like, oh, milk comes from a bottle, you know?
Yeah, we're seeing the cow, right? Yeah. We are the cow.
We are the cow. We are the cow.
We are the cow.
Oh, God. yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of the process ahead of us.
I was going to ask, have you found any like side effects yet?
Well, here's the thing. Yesterday was day two of injections. And yeah. So anything I'm feeling, I'm like, surely not. Surely they're not side effects this early on. But they say the drugs can do a number on you. Mm. And this morning I woke up feeling like I had a hangover. Obviously, I did not have a hangover because I've not been drinking any alcohol.
Yeah.
Also, the nurse officially told me one coffee a day. And I'm like, yeah. Okay. I'm like, but can it have three shots in it? She's like, no. I'm like, oh God. So I'm having my 1 week coffee in the morning. But I've been having that, but I've not been having any alcohol, etc.
I didn't have
a hangover. But I woke up being like, oh my God, my head was pounding. Mm. And all day today I felt quite tired and quite wiped out, but I'm like, it might just be coincidence. Like, my work day on a Saturday is quite full on. I'm normally quite tired after a Saturday at work because it's my busiest day.
Yeah.
So it might just be, I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I felt probably side effects probably from about day two or three, to be fair.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did.
Might be them.
To be fair, acupuncture, they said that's going to help with side effects, so that should help.
I've got acupuncture tomorrow.
Oh, nice. I'm actually loving my sessions right now.
Are you?
Yeah. I really look forward to just relaxing.
I quite like just lying on the bed with the warm lamp on me in complete silence.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, quiet time. Just a bit of quiet time.
Yeah. And
it's lovely.
Oh my God, I need to tell you this. I haven't been drinking coffee for ages, not really because of this, because I've just been feeling a bit anxious having it. And I had I had a coffee today, right? I was like, I just thought, you know what? I'm going to have a coffee because I love the taste of coffee and decaf, the taste isn't quite the same. And I thought, I'm going to have one. I felt so nauseous. And,
did you?
Yeah, nauseous and really shaky. And I was going to say,
did you feel jittery?
Yeah, and anxious. And yeah, just now I just know I definitely can't have caffeine. How mad is that?
Aww,
like, I used to love it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sad for you because clearly you're better when you don't have it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, that cup of coffee in the morning, it's just the best.
I know. Yeah.
How are you feeling about the next week? Yeah, so you've got... Is that the first time you're back in for a scan? Next Friday?
Friday,
Under a week, because it's Sunday today.
Yeah, they want to just check how it's all looking. I'm hoping it will just look like there's nothing happening, because that's what's meant to happen.
So funny, because I'm the opposite. So when you said nothing's happened, I'm like, what? Yeah, and then I'm like, oh no, of course... I want there to be loads happening.
Yeah.
So I want to go in and I'm kind of like saying to my ovaries now, like, come on, guys, get going, follicles, like, attention.
Oh.
But of course, you want everything to be sleepy.
Yeah. I want it all to
it's
be
so
sleeping.
Weird.
So strange how it's all different. But yeah, I'm kind of, I feel all right about it. Slightly apprehensive because I just hope that they give good news, obviously. But yeah, and then obviously need to start the next lot of injections, which I think doing two sets for quite a while is going to be quite a heavy going. So I feel like we're going up a notch.
Because for reference, my injection period is about 10 or 12 days and my egg collection has been booked in for the 22nd of Jan.
Yeah.
Whereas you've been injecting since the 2nd of January and your provisional egg collection is end of January?
It's, 29th of Jan.
Yes, that's a long time, isn't it?
How is... I was going to say as well, at my appointment, they also told me about my AMH because they had to get it retested. AMH.
So just for reference, AMH... is anti-malarian hormone, and that's the hormone that indicates how many eggs a woman might have. So it's an indication, it's not an exact figure, but it's an indication of where your ovarian reserve might be. So you had yours retested, didn't you?
Yeah, I had it redone because I told the consultant that I had it done with like an at-home kit, and he said, oh gosh, they're not terribly reliable. And I was quite thrown by that because I was like, what? Like, I paid for this kit and, you know, what do you mean it's not reliable? So that kind of sent me in a bit of a fizz. But luckily, it did come back pretty similar, which I'm really glad about. And actually, it's a pretty good result, so we're all good. But I mean, I just, honestly, how mad is that?
Well, I had this, right? So the NHS, when you're just going through all the fertility tests, they don't normally, your GP doesn't normally test AMH. And so I paid for one of these home test kits that are everywhere at the moment. And the marketing is really like, get accurate results, get a diagnosis. I'm not saying they're not always, but I had no idea they can be quite changeable. So I got my AMH tested and it came back really high. And I was like, oh my God, my AMH is like so, so high. It came back as 41. And for a woman of my age, it should be between like 12 and I think 45. I was like, oh my God, it's so high. Yeah. And then the hospital did it because they do it as part of IVF proceedings. And it came back as 25.5. And obviously I had a freak out in the doctor's office. And I was like, oh my God, why has it dropped? Why has it dropped so much in the space of like 5 months?
Uh-huh.
And she said, no, no, no. She said, this is more accurate. She said, the finger prick tests are not reliable and they can give false readings and stuff. And I was just like, oh my goodness. Imagine if I'd put a lot on that result.
Yeah.
And the stakes are quite high when women get those tests done, right? So and I'm not saying they're always that wildly differing, and I'm not trying to scare anybody because a lot of women are going to be getting those tests and, you know, a lot of the time they are quite similar, but mine was so different. But that I think on most of them there is an option to pay a bit more and go to a clinic and get your blood drawn. So I think if anyone's considering one of those kits, it might be worth paying the extra to go to a clinic.
I think
In my non-medical opinion, I'm not an expert, but it really shocked me because I'm like, you know what? These companies have a big responsibility to women who are, you know, trying to find out about their fertility, which is an emotive subject.
Yeah, and I was a bit shocked as well when he sort of said, well, we need to redo it. I mean, mine on the result from the fingerprint was 22 a year ago and it was 19. So I feel all right about that. So it's not too far off.
Yeah, that's quite similar, but interesting.
Yeah, mad. Absolutely mad. When do you go back and when's your next scan?
So Friday.
Oh, yeah, of course. Obviously, yeah.
And that will be when they just make sure that everything is stimulating so that I'm responding to the medication as I should be. And that's when, because I'm at risk of overstimulating, if it's all going bonkers in there, my ovaries, they will drop the dose. Or if I'm not responding enough, then they'll up the dose. But that's when they will have a look at it. Then the following Monday, so that's day 10 of injections, I go back in again and they see if I'm ready for egg collection. And if it's a go, then they go, yep, great. And I'm in 2 days later.
Oh my
which
God.
Is crazy.
That is so quick, isn't it?
It feels so soon.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Mad.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've got a lot of stuff happening, don't we?
Yeah, it feels like we're really in the thick of it now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But it's all good. I do feel excited, you know. I don't know about you, but I do still feel like I really wanted my period to arrive. I'm like, yes, okay. I mean, obviously it was quite sad, my period. I'm waiting for the last period is a weird thing. But when it's like, okay, we're definitely doing this, I did still feel excitement. Mm. But I suppose it's just very scary as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about it.
I don't know. I think I was a bit apprehensive before starting, and then when I've started, I'm just getting on with it. But I just have found, as said previously, like working is quite hard doing it at the same time. So shout out to all the people that are trying to juggle their full-time job every day whilst doing this. Mm-hmm. It's bloody difficult.
Yeah. And also, there are people that are not neither of us, but there are also people that are going to be juggling other children.
Yeah.
They might have a small child. How do you do this with a toddler in tow?
I don't know.
Shout out to you guys.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, I guess, like,
hope
that's
you're all right, mate.
Yeah, but you too. I really hope you're okay as well.
Yeah. I mean, we voice note 10 times a day to each other, don't we?
Yeah. I always feel like when I'm having a bit of a moment, I'm always like, yeah, let me just contact Catherine and see what she thinks.
Yeah,
which is helpful.
I'm like, sometimes I just leave you a voice note. I'm like, not really saying anything in particular. I just want to say this to somebody and like, you're that person. Oh. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Can you close it?
It was improv.
Yeah. Oh, it was improv.
We need to get more of that.
Interrupted.
Yeah.
Bye.
Are we still going? We're still recording?
Yeah.
The door just went and it was Carl's Impril. He can't get proxied at the moment, his supplements. And so he's dropped it.
Taking the Impril.
This is it's an expensive baby, but the NHS are paying for most of it.
Yeah.
We're lucky.
We're really lucky.
Very fortunate. It's his Spenny supplements. We're not sponsored by either Proxied or Impril, but get in touch, guys.
Yeah, that would
That's
be great.
A free shout out for you.
And Andrew needs a box of Impril. So, yeah.
There we go. Well, make sure that it arrives in the middle of a podcast recording so that we can get another shout out in. Funny. We're going to try and record next week.
Yeah, definitely. We'll be a lot more regular now. And touch base
and
then.
Hey, we said we'd bring you everything. All the updates, like the realness of it, and I hope if it feels quite real now, you know. Mm. So I hope we're doing that.
Yeah, we'll be fine. And also thanks to loads of people sending us messages. That's really nice.
Oh my God, I love the people following us on Instagram. I just love them. All like mainly women, few men as well. They're all amazing, and I'm like, oh God, I want it all for everyone.
Yeah.
I want babies for everyone. On that note, if you would like to send us a message or follow us on Instagram, you can do that at IVFBFFpod. And you can email us at IVFBFFpod@gmail.com. Be lovely too, if you're enjoying this podcast, if you would give us a little rating and review.
That would be great.
That would be fab.
Yeah.
That would be cool. No, I said if you're enjoying this podcast. If not, just move along. We didn't hear from you. We're fragile, okay?
Yeah, we don't need it right now.
But
yeah, no, thank you to everyone. I want to just do a really big shout out to my friend Laura, who got me an hoodie this week.
You're wearing it right now. I can see it. The listeners can't see it, but I can see it.
It's got cats
and
on it.
It's so snuggly.
Yeah,
gorgeous.
I love
got
it.
Three cats.
Yeah. I can't take it off. Everywhere I go, I'm just wearing it. So,
well, yeah. January is quite good because we can snuggle up and we can hunker down and be like, okay, let's just hibernate, which feels quite nice in
it's
a way.
Really nice, yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, everyone, thanks for listening if you've made it this far. Cheers for that.
Yeah. And we will update you very, very soon.
And I hope if anyone's listening and they're going through, I know there's loads of people that have messaged us saying, oh, we're going through it right now, whether that's their first, second, third or more. So just to say, you know, we're here and we're going through this with you. I hope you're all okay.
We are your IVF BFFs at your service.
At your service.
I hope you're okay, mate. Yeah. I love you.
Love you too. I hope you're okay too.
We're fine. We will get through this. We'll make it.
One way
we'll
or another.
We'll make it together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Send lots of love.
Yeah. Lots of love to you.
And lots of love to everybody. And Until next time, guys.
See you soon.
See you later.